the RBA today, and of course these days we get it all at once. We get the announcement, the statement of monetary policy with RBA forecasts. Then later the press conference. We'll be ready for all of that and getting you ready as well. There was some hope earlier that maybe a ceasefire could be reached in the Middle East. Looks like maybe that was a false hope, but you know, maybe a deal is getting closer, but it's adding a lot of volatility to oil today. It's Tuesday, it's the 7th of May, 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar is pretty much where it was a day ago, but we have seen a 0.2% rise in the Aussie dollar, up to around 66.2 US cents. The yen has lost almost 0.6%, reaching 154 yen to the dollar, but of course it was much weaker at the end of April. And bond yields are generally lower. 10-year treasuries down 2 basis points, that's all, to 4.49%, down 3 basis points for German 10-year bonds. The UK, well, they're on holiday, or they were on Monday. Australia 10 years yesterday, down 4 basis points to 4.38% and not moving much since then. And equities are higher, 1.2% up for the NASDAQ at close, 1% for the S&P, 0.5% for the Dow. The Russell 2000 is up 1.2% as well, so broad-based gains happening today. The DAX in Germany up 1% at close on their Monday. And oil, well, it's been a bit up and down, but, you know, small moves, but it's mixed news coming from the Middle East. It's had a bit of a resurgence. It's now up 0.5%, up around $83.40 a barrel. WTI is up around 65%. The movement comes from what's happening in the Middle East. Hamas says it's accepted the ceasefire proposal, which has been suggested by Qatar and Egypt, but Israel is not buying it at this stage. And according to the BBC, it's sort of heading on with its Rafah operation. So NAB's Taylor Newton is with me from Melbourne. I guess oil is sort of started to climb back because a deal is looking less likely. It was softening on the hope that there would be some sort of truce. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen next? So it's a sort of a watching brief, isn't it, really, to see what where this does lead us to?
Yeah, I think that's right. One to watch rather than something that's moved markets particularly much over the last 24 hours. You did see oil earlier pairing gains a little bit, but, yeah, it's back a little bit higher again now, but, you know, up less than 1% on the day. So, you know, not large moves by oil standards. So I don't think it's, you know, getting too much attention of markets at the moment. But, yeah, Israeli officials have said that they are studying the proposal. And so, you know, one to watch, and that could get some reaction if there is further evolution of that.
Now, the Caging Services PMI, maybe we shouldn't get too excited about that either. Slightly down at 52.5, but that is pretty much what was expected.
Yeah, pretty much what was expected. And I think, you know, probably more interestingly there, it held up, you know, comfortably above 50 despite the weakness that we saw in the official PMIs last week. And so, you know, that is a bit of a good sign. We saw PMIs in China kind of move up pretty comfortably in March to more obviously expansionary territory, and consistent with, you know, Chinese growth finding a bit of support, even if, you know, how persistent that would be was a bit of an open question. They have pulled back in April a little bit, still above where they were kind of through March of last year. So still suggesting some improvement in the backdrop there. And yeah, the Caixin Services PMI was certainly better news than what we saw last week. The services PMI around expectations at 52.5. And that compares to just 50.3 for the official services PMI. So there is a little bit of a gap there. So, you know, you average across those sorts of indicators, and it suggests that, you know, maybe the kind of more positive signs that we saw out of the March readings don't seem to have sustained too much. But, you know, there is still some evidence that the Chinese economy is on a better footing than it was in the second half of last year. And we saw some comments out of the Politburo meeting late last week as well that do suggest that, you know, they are seeing some more positive factors and do seem to have kind of, you know, there's still some resolve there, and maybe even increasing resolve to kind of, you know, find a resolution to change tack a little bit on the kind of measures that are in place to support the property market and, you know, other kind of piecemeal support still in the pipeline. So, you know, still, you know, pretty similar picture. The PMIs on net a little bit better than maybe the read out of the official PMIs last week. And, you know, still that open question about how sustainable this recovery can be.
Right. Now, the US equities continue with gusto. So the S&P has topped its 50-day average. So it's gone past sort of a resistance point. So who knows where from here. And it obviously has a fair bit to do with the expectations that were set by the Fed last week. I mean, you know, that there was, you know, we know that there will be a cut later this year even if it's much later this year. We know a hike is not likely to happen. I mean, that was pretty much the tone of last week's Fed meeting. So it wasn't terrific, but it was perhaps better than people were expecting. And equity markets doing well out of it.
Yeah. So the tone out of the FOMC, then we had US data on Friday, that payrolls data, you know, still pretty strong, but, you know, moderating a little bit and certainly feeding into that prospect that, you know, that tone struck by the Fed, you know, we could easily see the data come in over the next few months and support that. And so I think that's all fueling into that optimism. Bloomberg noting that, you know, if we S&P 500 now heading for its best 3-day rally this year. So certainly a pretty positive reaction to kind of the totality of that messaging from the Fed and the good data out of the US.
And we had Williams and Barkin amongst the Fed speakers overnight. So it was all, you know, watch the data, yada, yada. But Richmond Fed's Barkin, who is a voting member this year, said that he is optimistic that policy is restrictive enough to bring inflation down to target, saying the full impact of higher rates is yet to come. That, of course, doesn't mean anything, really, does it? It just means he doesn't expect that they're going to raise rates. Well, no one's really expecting that. It doesn't give us any indication of timing, does it? It's going to happen sometime.
Yeah, that's right. Not too much to news to move markets. But again, kind of that similar to what we heard out of Powell, really, last week, that, you know, it doesn't seem like there's too much concern just yet that the data has been strong enough to push them to hike. It's more about how long do we stay at those levels. So he did say he's still operating with the hypothesis that this level of policy rates would be sufficiently restrictive. He did say, but time will tell. So, you know, certainly, you know, if the data does turn in a way that that they don't expect and that we don't expect, then, you know, they can always be pushed higher if the data makes the case, but they're not really seeing that at the moment. And so I think that's just, you know, consistent with what we heard from Powell. And I think it is important that he noted that the full impact of higher rates is yet to come. There is, you know, the potential for some disagreement out there about, you know, just how long and variable these long and variable lags are. And so Barkin certainly suggesting that, you know, there is still a little bit more to work through the system, do still expect growth to be slowing. We heard from Williams as well that, you know, he's seeing signs that there are that households are being more careful, and he expects growth to be somewhat slower through 2024. And we saw potentially some evidence for Barkin's point that, you know, that full impact of higher rates is still working through the system out of the senior loan officer survey as well. So, you know, that's was available to the FOMC members at their May meeting, and it showed that banks on net are still tightening credit standards, and so that, you know, there is still some flow through to come through there. You know, especially so in some areas of commercial. And so while the kind of the net balance of banks that are tightening standards is, you know, well off what it was last year, you know, there still are banks tightening standards on net. So that's kind of consistent with Barkin's comments as well. I think that there is still a little bit more in the system. And the kind of more dovish tone, the greater confidence the Fed officials have been giving that, you know, they won't need to be pushing rates further. It's more a question of when can they start to cut. You know, that probably has kind of helped a little bit with that, with a kind of longer term lending outlook, I think,
right,
as well.
Producer prices for the euro area, they were down 0.4% in March, not quite as much as the 1.1% drop that we saw in February, but that was also as expected. And the final read on the services PMI for the euro area, that was revised up a little as well. It's now at 53.3 and 53.2 for Germany. But today we get, the balance of trade for Germany. Last time we saw 2% fall in exports. We get to see whether Germany is getting back on its feet. We also get factory orders as well today and retail sales for the euro area. So there's a few, you know, and the Eurovision Song Contest kicks off tomorrow as well with Australia taking part. So look, there's a bit happening in Europe, isn't there?
Yeah, a bit happening. And I think, you know, it's a roundup of fairly second tier data. I don't think anything that we've mentioned there is really going to be kind of, you know, catching the ECB's attention too much as it thinks about its June policy meeting. And certainly given the kind of the high bar they seem to have set themselves for the data to push them off the path to a cut at that meeting, there's certainly nothing in that data dump, or, you know, probably in prospect in terms of the near-term data that's coming up that is likely to push them off that path. Final PMI is revised up ever so slightly in Europe, but nothing really there to change that kind of broader picture of you know, relative growth performance getting a little bit better. Maybe one thing to note quickly, we do have the Riksbank in Sweden coming up this week, and you know, we got the first round of the April PMIs for them, and they were reasonably soft. So that you know, that's certainly in combination with unemployment a little bit higher, inflation a little bit lower, growth a little bit softer, all
so they might
Sweden,
cut, might they?
Could easily see a cut from them.
Right. Well, how exciting. Actually, a move happening. Wow. So the reason we're all here today, the RBA. Look, the Aussie dollar's strong ahead of this. I don't know if that's because of the RBA coming up. Of course, we get the statement of monetary policy out at the same time, and then the press conference afterwards. So last time, the statement of monetary policy didn't have inflation getting down to their 2 to 3% target until late 2025. In fact, December this year, they still expect it to be at 3.2%. So I should imagine if they change these forecasts in any way, there's going to be quite a bit of sensitivity around that, isn't there?
Yeah. So the forecast's obviously very important. We've got the new structure where the forecast and the full statement of monetary policy are released at 2:30 alongside the announcement. And then we've got the press conference following soon after at 3:30. With the forecasts, you know, we've seen the run of data. It hasn't really gone their way recently. Unemployment's a little bit lower than they were expecting. Inflation's a bit higher than they were expecting. That will flow through in the near term of the forecasts. Whether the RBA, you know, needs to see that and act on it by tightening policy, you know, there is a little bit of a saving grace in that growth is still slow in Australia. We think they can still continue to assess that they are making progress given the activity growth backdrop. And we've also seen market pricing and a lot of forecasters move their expectations for the path of monetary policy higher as well. And so that feeds through into the assumption that the forecasts are based on. And so effectively what that means is that they'll be making forecasts on an assumption that policy rates are kind of 50 to 75 basis points higher from kind of the back end of this year all the way out through 2025. And so that probably means that, you know, they don't necessarily have to flow that all the way through into that mid-2026 forecast where they've kind of set themselves that, you know, inflation around the midpoint by mid-2026 as the aim they're looking for. So, you know, there certainly is the capacity for them to kind of paint an outlook that says, you know, the risks are less balanced than we characterized in February and certainly in March when we saw them kind of step more towards more neutral language on the outlook from here. But, you know, with that higher for longer policy, they can deliver a set of forecasts, we think, that probably says that they can still see that with rates higher for longer rather than needing to hike. I think, you know, in terms of what we expect, where we expect them to be on hold, market pricing is only around, you know, 2 to 3% chance of a hike. Only one of 31 analysts in the survey expect a hike. So, you know, there are broad expectations that they will be on hold despite the unhelpful data. But, you know, it's not... I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion. You know, you put a different set of central bankers in the RBA and they would have been higher sooner at a lot of points through this cycle given the same set of data. And so that kind of risk of a reassessment, the policy isn't, you know, sufficiently restrictive in the Fed's terms are always there. But we think they will be on hold, and we expect, you know, that messaging in totality to be much clearer that, you know, they are worried that policy might need to tighten a little bit further rather than the kind of two sides that that we heard out of March.
So put different central bankers in there, you get a different answer. You're basically saying if you ask a bunch of different economists, the same question, you're going to get a different answer. That's what you're saying there, isn't it? Which we all know that. Retail sales, they are out today. Will they be softer? I think that's the expectation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So these are the quarterly volume numbers. We had the nominal March numbers last week. They were certainly not strong. They saw a small decline and rounded out the quarter to mean that we expect a modest fall in volume terms quarter on quarter. And so, you know, that feeds into that discussion that we just had that, you know, the evidence is still that so far activity growth remains soft. Slow consumption growth is a big part of that. And so, you know, that feeds into this broader picture. I think, you know, the challenge is that, you know, the outlook has always been for things to turn around, you know, through the second half of this year as real incomes improve, tax cuts come through, that kind of meaningful increase in interest rates earlier in the tightening cycle moves further into the rearview mirror. And so the challenge and the risk here is that, you know, does the RBA really have enough progress under their belt before we start to see a bit more improvement in the activity backdrop? But certainly the data on retail sales today expected there to show, you know, flat to modest growth in consumption continuing into the first part of 2024.
Bit of cocooning, it's called, isn't it, when we stay at home and we don't go out and spend money. We might be stuck with that for a few months to come yet. And on Fed watch, Neil Kashkari, that's about it, isn't it?
Yes, quiet data calendar for the US all week, a little bit of Fed speak around, but yeah, Kashkari, the main event on the US calendar coming up today, so very quiet.
Fantastic, we'll catch you again next time. Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Bill.
And there we go, that's the morning call for this Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB, back again tomorrow. I'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in.